Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Great tell power by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, Mickey Ryan, Don Davenport with you talking college basketball. Let's get Drew Maddox in here. Former Vanderbilt All-SEC guard, coach over at CPA. Got the state tournament coming up. You ready for that, coach?
We are ready for it, Brent, over here, especially after JT spinning the record over there. What about that? What do we have coming out of the break right there? That was big time.
DJ Khaled, just for you, Drew.
Wow, that was amazing. I'm really ready to go now.
Hey,
Saturday night,
you know,
can't
that
get
music
fast enough.
Saturday night at CPA, we'll be there. Hey, so Georgia-Mississippi State last night ends with a technical foul free throw after a stuffed animal was thrown on the floor. Where were you on the night in 1989 when Florida and Vanderbilt were playing at Memorial Gym and Vandy had a two-point lead, tennis balls rained down on the floor? Two technical free throws shot with 1 second left, puts the game in overtime, then Florida wins. They end up winning the SEC by one game over Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I was sprawled out all over the aisleway with my heart broken that night. As John Clockerty called that technical foul that night, I was sitting up in section 2E, row 4, probably about seat number 4, Brent, if I'm not mistaken. And I was 13 years old and just heartbroken that we lost the SEC championship that night.
So we can confirm that we're getting bits of clues from people. Nobody will identify the tennis ball thrower. So we can confirm that a 13-year-old Drew Maddox did not throw tennis balls at Dwayne Schentes.
No, absolutely not. And when that, I think for some reason, if I'm not mistaken, Brent, when I remember the direction of the ball, I think it came over from like section E on that left side over by their bench. And I can still remember that ball flying out onto Memorial Gym's court that night. And literally, like, in agony that, you know, obviously they'd have called a technical and went on to win the game. But, yeah, I was just heartbroken as a young kid.
Should the stuffed animal have cost Georgia the game? Should that ever cost anybody a game?
You know, I don't know, because could you stage somebody to go up to Rupp Arena and act, you know, wear blue and throw a wildcat on the floor and
yes.
You know something?
That's
happen?
What I said.
Like, is that what we're going to get to now? Like, you know, I don't know. I wasn't there, obviously. One of my friends was actually an official in that game last night, which is hilarious. I didn't talk to him today because I wanted to give him at least 24 hours before I called and gave him some crap about it. But, I don't know if obviously if a warning was issued, you know, what had happened leading up to that. But obviously that was painful for Tom Crean and the Bulldogs to lose a game that way.
What'd you think about Duke Carolina last night? Zion blows a tire. Now everybody's wondering if he should just pack it up and not play again for Duke and just get ready for the NBA.
Yeah, that game last night, I was just telling some folks today, you know, when was the last time a team went 2 of 20 from the three-point line like North Carolina did last night and go in and dominate Duke the way that they did? And obviously it was in the interior. I mean, they outscored him 62-28 in the paint, so dominant. Between Luke May and Brooks and Johnson, Brett, 70 points and 30 rebounds. I mean, a complete dominant performance by their interior play. But obviously Zion Williamson being out of the game is a storyline. But I'm going to contend to say if Duke cannot make perimeter jump shots, and they were 8 of 39 from the field, from the three-point line last night in their own building, and many of those were open shots, so they shot 20%. This is a team, yes, they are super talented, have great individual talent, but as they get further into the NCAA tournament, they're going to have to be able to make perimeter jump shots, and this is a team that just continues to struggle to make those shots.
So the conversation today, of course, everybody has an opinion on what Zion should do. What's your opinion from a basketball coach standpoint, from his future career player standpoint? Should he regardless of the injury, call it now and not come back, or should he come back and finish off the season?
I think, Dawn, he should totally sit out, do physical therapy, and be ready to play on March the 5th when I go to Cameron Indoor to watch him play.
There you go.
All seriousness, Scottie Pippen started this discussion back at Christmas time. Remember, we were already talking about this on this show.
Yeah.
There were many people after 10 games and that sample size in terms of his body of work that had said he needs to shut it down, because the only thing that can keep that kid from a mega shoe contract and the number one pick is his health. And so now here we are, you know, facing this as a possible outcome. And so I know a lot of NBA guys came out, said, you know, certainly he should sit. Even Jay Williams came out and said he should sit. So if you're looking at that kid and what's best for that kid, obviously he should sit and not play and sit out the remaining part of the year. He's going to be the number one pick, probably signed the largest shoe deal size since LeBron James. So,
Especially his health
is the only thing that should be in consideration.
Well, it'll have to be a heavy-duty shoe that he signs on for the deal for. Won't be the Paul George
model. He has all the leverage
model.
With Nike, doesn't he, now?
Yeah.
So, I would say that the leverage point definitely tipped in his favor. So they're going to have to pay a premium if they're hoping to sign that young man.
LSU lost to Florida last night. With it, Tennessee now alone in first place in the SEC for the time being. They have a tough game, obviously, at LSU on Saturday at 11 a.m. What do you think about that matchup?
That's going to be tough. I think this will be a wake-up call, much like that, you know, LSU did for Kentucky last week at Rupp Arena. I was surprised. Florida gives LSU fits. If you look back last year, whatever they do defensively really gives LSU some trouble. Tremont Waters really, really struggled against that changing defenses of the Gators last night.
Yeah.
Really struggled from the floor. I still think this game, Brent, is going to come down to, you know, the play in the backcourt between Bone and Waters, and watching two of the premier point guards in the SEC, who can control the pace, who can control their team, who can surge and give their team confidence. The one difference between Bone and Waters is Waters has to score the ball for LSU to be successful, where Bone can really defer to his teammates. I do think Tennessee goes in. I think they wake up. They sleepwalk through the game on Tuesday night against Vanderbilt. I think they play much better and go into LSU and win this game.
Who is number one right now since Duke lost?
I mean, I guess you would have to say Gonzaga, because they play that cupcake schedule out there on the West Coast. But I would think that Virginia right now, in that logjam, that three-way tie at the top of the ACC standings, by them going into North Carolina, Chapel Hill last week and winning that basketball game, beating Louisville last week, I would say Virginia is the best team in the country.
Drew Maddox, at Drew Maddox on Twitter, talking college basketball. Yeah, it's interesting how the polls would look if they had to come out now, because you can't do the head-to-head thing anymore because they've all beaten each other. Like, Gonzaga's beaten Duke. Tennessee beat Gonzaga. Kentucky beat Tennessee. Duke beat Kentucky. UVA lost to Duke twice, but UVA won at North Carolina. It's such a jumbled up year.
It is, and you know, now you're starting to see, as we settle in the conference season, some of these losses take place. You're probably even going to see some more losses. You know, we had even talked about Nevada, you know, what Eric Musselman's done out there on the West Coast. They got beat at San Diego State this week by 8 points in a dominant effort, holding them to 57 points. So you're starting to see some teams show some signs of some slippage. I think it's just long seasons getting into the February schedule. I don't think it's too much to make too much about. But I do think as we, you know, get closer towards the end of this, you're going to see some teams start to play better as they ramp up for the postseason.
Who's the fourth best team in the SEC? Record-wise, it's South Carolina, but will it wind up that
According
way?
According to the net rankings, though, they're like around 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, I you know, the question would be to me, I still think Auburn is the fourth best team to me in the SEC. Now, they shot extremely well the other night. I mean, they were just blistering the nets. But I don't think it's Ole Miss. I don't think it's Mississippi State. So by default, I'm sliding Auburn in even ahead of South Carolina, even though I know South Carolina's record is 9-4. But, you know, that's going to be crucial for some team, because here in Nashville, that fourth team is going to get a bye in the SEC tournament. And so it's going to be, you know, interesting to see who can struggle their way into that four seed. And then I think it also gives a major benefit to either Tennessee, Kentucky, or LSU, whoever's able to get that one seed to play one of those four seeds, because those teams just aren't as good as those top three.
Good stuff, Drew. Appreciate you, man. Sorry about bringing up that Florida Vanderbilt night back in 1989.
That's okay. I understand. It was the first thing I thought about last night when I saw that game. So you guys be blessed. Have a great Thursday and a great rest of your week. And come on out Saturday, 6 o'clock. We'd love to see you in our gym to cheer on the Lions.
All right, man. Good luck, brother. We'll see you there.
Thank you.
All right. Yep, CPA Saturday night. I'll be there.